Welcome to Happy Talks with Dr. Alice and Donovan. Dr. Alice Fong is a holistic naturopathic doctor and founder of Amor de Soi Wellness. And Donovan Jensen is a software engineer and founder of HowToHappy.com. Together, they're out to cause more happiness in the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Happy Talks. My name is Dr. Alice, and this is my awesome co-host, Donovan. And today we are talking about inappropriate happiness. Is that a thing? I guess so. So, Donovan, what are your initial thoughts when it comes to inappropriate happiness? When is it not okay to be happy?
Yeah, I think the first thing that pops to mind for me is basically inappropriate happiness is sort of like a social judgment, right? It might be something that you also feel yourself, right? Like, oh, I shouldn't be happy at this, but you know, with all feelings, like there are times that you can just feel things without really having cognitive input on that feeling. So I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. Another thing that I'm thinking of is, like, some people may find themselves in situations where the way that they're deriving happiness might not be the most reliable or useful. So by that, I mean, let's say that you have someone that you don't like and something bad happens to them and you feel happy about it. Those sorts of relationships or those sorts of ways of deriving happiness, I'm not personally going to say like, oh, that's inappropriate. But I don't think those are necessarily reliable ways of producing happiness or the most useful ways. And so in a sense, that could also be a way of looking at like inappropriate happiness. But those are my initial thoughts. I'm curious what where you're at.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to reference it. It is kind of a judgment about it. And there's like a social context about it. And like my initial thought that came up into my head, it was like, okay, when would it be inappropriate to be happy? For whatever reason, I thought of a funeral. It's like, you're happy someone died. And I feel like the context kind of varies, which would be the social judgment of what is considered appropriate versus inappropriate. Like, this person had like cancer forever and was really suffering in pain, and we're happy that she finally moved on. That's appropriate. Versus, I hate this person, I'm so glad this person is dead. That seems inappropriate. So it's just like, you could still have happiness for a funeral, but I agree. Like, if you're counting on all your enemies to die to be happy, it's not really an effective way to go about being happy in the overall arch of your lifetime.
Yeah, the more we talk about it and the more I think about it too, I almost feel like it's one of these mischaracterizations of emotions again, where you might see someone, like you were kind of talking about displaying happiness, right? Like if you're at a funeral displaying happiness, you may find a number of people who say it's inappropriate. Right. And I was thinking, you know, towards, you know, if we replace happiness with something like sadness, right? And it's like inappropriate sadness, then it brings to mind times when people are like, oh, you shouldn't be sad about that. And like negating sort of these feelings, trying to do it through some sort of like cognitive method, which is just not, again, not a very useful thing to do. It's not a very realistic way to think about or treat emotions. So that's another piece that, that sort of bubbled up for me is like, inappropriate happiness might not be, and that's why I danced around it so much at the beginning, but it's not necessarily a useful way to think about it because, you know, like maybe the display, right? If you're at a funeral and you're displaying happiness, that could be seen as inappropriate to many. But if you're at a funeral and feeling happiness, the me telling you that it's inappropriate doesn't really mean anything because it's not like you necessarily chose the feeling. In the same way, if I sub out sadness, right, and I say it's inappropriate to feel sad, well, like, tough luck. Like, you feel however you feel.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't really have control over the emotions a lot of the times, and it's just like you feel what you feel. I agree. But I agree there's that the display of happiness is different than the experience of happiness, whether or not you're at a funeral, because yeah, maybe you are happy and you're miserable, but if you're like, high five, this guy just died, that's not gonna be real consider people are probably not going to be too pleased with you, most likely. Yes.
There's another context that came to mind. That's like competitive events or sporting events, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, when you win at something, you're going to feel happy, or at least most likely feel happy. Mm-hmm. There's a tension between like how much of that you should display, especially in the context of a sport, or mm-hmm. the context of how like personal it is, I guess. Like if it's like a one-on-one close competition, generally it's like more inappropriate to really like gloat in the other person's face, right? Like there's something around like having, you know, these are like sportsmanship concepts, but that's another realm that sort of came to mind for me around this like idea of inappropriate happiness. But it still goes back to basically the context and how and where you're choosing to exhibit it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Although I feel like depending on the person, you know, someone being like rubbing it in someone's face might be appropriate for depending on, and maybe like it's sibling rivalry and they're just used to that. And that's how they are. And it's just part of the fun of it, where they can laugh about it thereafter, versus like someone who's just like really taking it too far, maybe with people that they don't really know how they're going to take it. And kind of expressing their emotions in a way that could be deemed inappropriate from the group that they're in. I thought of another context, though, perhaps, of when you're in a relationship, for example. Like if you break up from that relationship, I feel like there's like a relief in a way from like the pain and suffering of if there is challenges in the relationship and finally being free, there's happiness in that. Yet at the same time, there's like, oh, I lost the person that I love so much, or I lost my best friend. Like there's sadness in it too. And so it's like a roller coaster of emotions, and you don't really know what you're going to feel at any given moment. But there's like, I don't think it's realistic for, at least for my own personal experience. Yeah, there was significant amount of sadness and significant amount of tears, but there was also like kind of some happiness and joy in that context too. And I feel like that was appropriate.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about whether or not happiness is appropriate from different perspectives, right? And this works in the relationship case, it works in a sort of competitive setting case, where like you might get out of a relationship that maybe the relationship itself wasn't bad, but you just feel awesome afterwards and are super happy and feel great. But the other person, like from their perspective, seeing how happy you are, might feel like, oh wow, that's inappropriate. In the same way with like competition stuff, right? Like someone might really do a huge celebration when they win. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine as the loser, you are more likely to be like, oh, that's inappropriate. Like happiness, you're gloating, you're being just like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to that like social component, right? Where it's like, it's really interesting to me that depending on your perspective, you may or may not find the happiness appropriate. And then again, it just goes back to displays, right? Because if somebody wins and they're happy internally and they don't do anything and they just walk off whatever the place is, or if you know, you get out of a relationship and you just don't interact with that other person, right? They don't see the things that you're doing or whatever else, then they're not going to have that judgment of like whether or not it's appropriate. So yeah, still coming back to me is like the displays are the part where that can get you into where people might feel like it's inappropriate, but your position matters so much because, you know, like the one person might think like, oh, you didn't take our relationship seriously. Or like, you're not taking time to figure out who you want to be before you jump into your next thing or whatever. And the other person might be like, just super happy and feel great and moving on and doing stuff.
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes, I actually thought of another thing that I think is important to mention, because for me, like the display of emotion might not match what I'm feeling inside, and there's a disconnect. Like I know for me, like being really sad or being really angry was kind of ingrained into me to be inappropriate in itself, just the emotion of sadness or anger. And so I almost train myself to laugh in those situations, which sometimes that's not seemingly appropriate in those moments, but it's like, it's too uncomfortable for me. I mean, I've progressed enough emotionally that it doesn't happen so much anymore, but it might once in a while. But I definitely, in the past version of me, maybe like a decade ago, would just like laugh in those situations, which is just really can be taken the wrong way for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. On that same sort of note, I'd be curious if you've had experiences, because you're talking about different emotions.
Yeah.
But turning the spotlight sort of inward, if you've had experiences where you personally were struggling with like, oh, I have this happiness, but it feels inappropriate. Because we've kind of been talking about like the external perspective right. onto us, but I'd be curious what your experience personally has been.
I don't know. I was trying to think of a time. I can think of times where I was very happy and I didn't outwardly display it, but I was trying to think of a time where I wasn't that happy and I was outwardly displaying myself as happy. I think that's a rare incident. Yeah.
Well, I think for me, the only experiences I've had around that are a small handful of times where I was in direct competition for something, like let's say a promotion to team lead, right? There's only one spot. This is not an actual example, but this is the type of thing.
Right.
And I'm in competition with people that I genuinely care about a lot. As opposed to like, you know, when I played soccer or whatever, I don't give a shit if I beat the other team. Like I don't know those people. Right. But times that I've been in competition for something finite, and I have won and then felt, you know, like really happy because I got whatever the thing was. But then I've definitely had that voice creep up of like, you shouldn't feel awesome because, you know, this other person, these other people or person are probably feeling terrible or they're probably not happy or whatever else. And obviously my position on that is like, that is not a useful train of thoughts, right? That's not a useful set of feelings. That's something that, luckily it hasn't come up too much, so I haven't done a lot of work around, but in general, I'd be like, want to sort of dismantle that train of thought and not write it because it's not that useful. But that's the one sort of circumstance that I have experienced, at least for myself, my own mind saying like, I don't know if you should be happy right now. Like you shouldn't do this because other people are having a bad time.
Right. Yeah. The emotion that comes up for me when you describe that is like, guilt, like guilt maybe is stopping you from feeling happiness because these other people are not happy. So this is not the time to do that. And it'd be guilty to be that outlier in a sense. It actually reminds me of like the pop culture reference. The latest show that I've been watching is called The Ultimatum, which I think you've also caught a few episodes perhaps. And the whole premise, for those who don't know what it is, it's a Netflix show about people, couples who have been together for, you know, 2-3 years or so. And one person's ready to get married and one person is not. And so the idea is that they're in this experiment and they break up temporarily, I guess, and try explore dating other people within this little pod group of like a dozen people or so. And then they live with them for 3 weeks, the new person, and then they live back with the old partner for 3 weeks to really determine, you know, who do they really want to settle down with. And there is a lot of emotions, obviously. You know, I think of like the one couple, like Jake and April, who that couple is interesting because it's like there's a lot of struggles in that relationship. And it's like, you know, Jake, or actually most of the couples, it's like they're experiencing happiness outside of their previous relationship, but, you know, it's in the presence of their past partner. So it seems really inappropriate and uncomfortable. And so there's the guilt trip and all of that, and, you know, not wanting to hurt their loved one, of course, but still wanting to be happy and enjoy themselves in this experiment. I really don't know where I'm going with that, but it just made me kind of think of how, you know, if you are too happy, your other partner is going to see it, or your last partner is going to see it and like freak out and be like, you didn't value our relationship, or, you know, it's like, oh, they want to move on. And they could basically create a lot of stories in their head about, you know, how things are going to go when you're too happy. Like, ideally, I think when people give an ultimatum, they want to feel like that other person's miserable in another relationship to realize, oh, this isn't the relationship for me. I had it so good with this last person. I got to go back them and make it official. When that's not the case. And I, you know, I really had this experience myself when my last partner broke up. You know, there was this like fantasy of like, oh yeah, he's going to realize how bad he is without me in his life, and he's going to crawl right back. And that did not happen. And that's the reality of life. So yes.
Yeah. I think one of the important pieces you touched on is sort of this idea of when you're feeling inappropriate happiness towards yourself, it's usually associated with this feeling of guilt. And then through both what we both talked about, I'm realizing it still comes back to sort of this social context, right? It still comes back to the guilt is associated with how I think others are possibly going to feel seeing me happy in this context. So I'm just going back to like full circle to like, okay, I'm pretty sure this is a social experience that because you know, if you think about any of those experiences outside of the context of ever seeing the person who you feel guilty about displaying happiness, like, you know, if we go back to that show, I'm sure if you take those people and put them in their new relationships and said, like, you will never see your old partner again, then the guilt is not really going to be there because it's all a social sort of feeling. So it's just still interesting to me that it is really, really rooted in that piece, whether or not it's me telling myself it's inappropriate because I'm projecting how other people might think and feel, or if it's me judging someone else that it's inappropriate because of how I feel towards something that they're doing or like the way that they're expressing that feeling.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think it would be especially hard if you have a whole film crew just kind of following you around. I would be very cautious or about being overtly too happy, which is kind of sad because, you know, I want to be my truest self. But, you know, film crew could wreak havoc in that for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you should sign up for a series like that if you're not interested in having a film crew follow you around while you try to be a person.
Right. And knowing that if you don't last with that relationship, that your ex is going to watch how things are. And that's going to be an awkward situation. But ideally, you know, I think we hope, even though if you break up with someone and you want that person to move on and be happy, it's kind of like an internal conflict for that person too, because it's like, yeah, you want both of yourselves to be happy, hopefully moving forward, but watching it actually happen can be very difficult. So yes, that can be the case.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm curious on another thread. So when I think about me judging other people for some sort of thing that I think is inappropriate happiness, maybe we'll bring it in the context of relationships, right? When I think of the idea of like, oh, I'm, you know, breaking up with this person and I hope they have a really bad time and figure out that they actually needed me or whatever else. And as I think of some of the other examples, to me, it almost feels like if I judge, and I don't know, maybe we can explore this and I'm wrong, but if I judge someone else's happiness is inappropriate, to me, it feels like either I haven't done the work to fully develop a mature position. And maybe that's not the best choice of words, but that's the one that comes to mind, or I may be missing pieces of sort of that person's experience for why they're drawing happiness. Now, don't get me wrong. There can definitely be the example of like, someone's just petty, right? They're just petty and they're super happy about being petty. And, you know, I still think that's, well, like I said, I think it's unreliable. I don't know if inappropriate is the word I would use, but anyway, I'd just be curious your thoughts on some of that.
Yeah, no, I think there is an opportunity for, I feel like if you have this envision of like you break up with someone and they should be miserable. They should miss me. That's kind of arrogant. I feel like you don't know what's going to happen. And it also, I think it is appropriate to look inward and see, like, not to say like what's wrong with me, but like, you know, is there any areas of growth for me to improve on, or what is it that I really need out of a relationship? And if this person couldn't give me that, then, you know, it's in my best interest to not like try to change them, because they're not. It's more about like, okay, what do I really need in a partner? Someone who can really actually show up for me in the way that I need them to, versus like, why aren't you showing up for me in the way? Why won't you like figure your shit out so you can come back to me and we can like live our happily ever after kind of a thing? I think there's a lot of self-awareness that needs to be developed in those cases. And it's not to say like you could have a lot of self-awareness and the relationship can still not work out. But, you know, the fact of the matter is not all relationships work out, and that's okay. It's kind of like having acceptance for, you know, love isn't always enough. And there's got to be other factors that we look at.
Yeah. I'm also thinking about sort of the displays that you see if you're in a compromised emotional position, right?
Yeah.
Can seem like something different than what they are. Which is to say, if you break up with somebody and that you think that they shouldn't be happy, you see some stuff, they're so happy. They might just be doing things that seem like relatively mundane to them, or they're like kind of happy or whatever else. But because you are in a position where you're like, I don't want to see any of that, you get the smallest sliver and then feel like, oh, like my whole plan of them missing me and falling apart or whatever is going to pieces. Mm. And like you were saying, that is all a position that's not very strong, right? It's not a strong foundation. Mm. Like if you have relationships where you genuinely care about someone, or at least like for me, like there are people that I care about a lot. And if they find a path towards happiness or that makes them happy, whether or not it involves me, or whether it's the path that I think should be in my head for them, you know, like they're open to follow whatever that path is. The other piece that I kind of want to unpack is when you see sort of these displays of happiness, I was thinking, and I realized that the nuances matter a lot. I'm going to take it back to the competition part, where if someone wins and the emotion that they display is genuinely just happiness, right? If all you see is happiness, you don't see like arrogance or like spite or like some of these other things mixed in, then I feel like it's much harder to feel like it's inappropriate. Same thing going back to like this funeral example we've been touching on.
Yeah.
If you see someone who is genuinely happy and not showing some of those things like, oh, I'm so glad they're dead, right? There's like something malicious in there. But if it's like you were saying with the example of like, you know, like I think they lived a good life and I'm just genuinely happy to see that they like moved on to whatever the next stage is, or however your beliefs fall. I'm realizing like probably a lot of the stuff that gets bucketed as inappropriate happiness is probably like happiness mixed with some sort of like malicious or petty or some other thing that's not just genuine raw happiness. Because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, no, if I saw just those displays, I'm far less likely to say that it's inappropriate.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And yeah, I think emotions can be mixed in with some not so desired emotions, like the spite and other things and pettiness. So I think that's a really good point that you brought to this conversation. Absolutely. I actually just thought of my own breakup in a way to my husband, in that we had our breakup before we had to get engaged. But I came to a place of, although, you know, for me, when I break up, I've learned, because sometimes there's like that rebound going back to that partner because you miss them and you love them. I've learned that sometimes you just need to have like no contact. So I want him to be happy. But again, if I see him being happy, I would not be happy. So just like, I want him to be happy, but I don't want to see it. That kind of division within myself, you know, go off, be happy, be a little sad too. I want that too. But ultimately he did realize that he was happy being single, and I was happy being single. I like being single, actually. It gives you a lot of freedom to do whatever the fuck you want, which is nice. But at the same time, it's like, okay, it also pushed him to kind of look internally and figure out what he wants. And I didn't want him to come back just because he missed me. I wanted him to figure out what he wants to figure out. And if that's not being with me, great. Awesome. Move on. I can move on and we can just move forward with our lives. Versus me like, yeah, you got to be sad and you got to figure it out so you come back to me. It was more like, you figure it out so we can actually both move on with our lives, with what's both best for us, even if that's separate, and that's okay. And I hope that is a more mature approach to that type of situation. But it did bring us back together. We only broke up for less than 2 weeks, but he did like two or three therapy sessions, a week in that time period. And yeah, that helped him figure it out. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned, about sort of like logically you can get behind like, oh, I want him to be happy, but emotionally, like if you actually see it, it is hard to wrangle in. And I think that's similar to sort of what we talked about on the episode about violence and stuff, right? Where it's like, you know, we can have these ideas of like, here's the most useful way to go about things, or like, here's the ideal thing. And here's the way that if everything was perfect, like that's how it'd be. Like if my brain was perfect, I would just want my person to be happy and I wouldn't feel anything about it. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like that's pretty much never how it works. Nice. So I just wanted to highlight it again as like, you know, that makes perfect sense, right? To give yourself space on some of these emotional things, that our brains are not always wired to go along with the thing that is most logical or the way that we would want it to go. Going back to what I was talking about before, like, I think it is a more measured and mature position, but it's also difficult to maintain, right? Like, because when you start seeing stuff and you start experiencing stuff, then your brain can just sort of like get off on this tangent really fast emotionally. Mm-hmm. And you have to practice like self-control and a lot of these other stuff that we haven't talked about for a long time, like meditation and whatnot, helps so that you're more likely to be able to sort of rein in those emotions and then take actions or have displays that are like useful given the context of the situation.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Great. Well, I think we've covered this conversation pretty well. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I think in general, you know, it's just an interesting idea to me that happiness can be inappropriate. And as we've talked about, like a good amount of that is sort of the social context. A good amount of that is sort of the displays. I think the last thing that I want to hammer home is just this idea that, you know, emotions come and go as they please for the most part. You know, we can put ourselves in certain situations. We can work on certain things, but we're never going to be 100% in control of that. So in the same way that I would probably never say like, this is inappropriate sadness, like you shouldn't be sad. Those kinds of phrases can be really damaging to people. I think in this context specifically, it's less likely to be, but I know it trickles out into all emotions and people talk about all emotions as though you shouldn't have them at certain times or in certain ways. But the displays or the way that you choose to exhibit those emotions is far more important and realistic as opposed to trying to control the emotions themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes total sense. You always do such a fantastic job, like tying everything up in a nice neat bow. Man, I got to commend you on that. This is why you are my awesome co-host.
Yes. Thanks.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in this week. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, all the things that spread happiness in the world. Leave a comment about, you know, what you think is inappropriate happiness if you feel like it. All right. We will see you next time. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Happy Talks with Dr. Allison Donovan.
We hope you got something of value to help bring a little more happiness into your life. What lesson or takeaway did you get from today's episode?
For more tips and tools, be sure to check out my website at dralicefong.com, and you can find me on my social media handles at Dr. Alice Fong.
You can find me at howtohappy.com and follow me on my social media handles at howtohappy. Catch you next time.